supervisor to approve this session. Supervisor Howe, would you lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain Bradley, lead us off in a great start today. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here today. Thank you for all that you do in our lives and for the session that is held here today in the business of the county. We pray there be good discussion on the issues and the matters. Father, we pray for good comments, and we thank you and appreciate all that our Board of Supervisors do and all of our county staff that work every day to make things go smoothly in our county. As we approach the holiday season, and especially Thanksgiving this next week, may we find ways to be grateful. May we show our gratitude. And Father, let us be aware of your blessings in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chaplain.
That wasn't a speaker card, was it? So the board today is convening only as the Board of Supervisors. We don't have any other special district issues.
Okay.
And for roll call, let's start with Supervisor Howe.
Present.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Orton.
Present.
And Supervisor Kopseth.
Here.
And it appears Supervisor Valenzuela is out for the day.
Yes, he'll be absent today.
Thank you.
He's at CSAC. Okay. Are we ready to roll?
So.
You're supposed to cheer at that point.
Yay.
All right, so this is a time for presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Is there any online, Anna?
Sure, I'm online.
Okay, then we'll go in-house, and I'm going to start with Kathleen Casey, I think it is. Good morning.
Hi. I'm Kathleen Casey. I live on the county side of Shasta Avenue in Mount Shasta. Our lot runs all the way to Butte Avenue, and we own the lot east of us that borders on Butte and Everett Memorial. On August 21st at around 5:30 p.m., streams of muddy water came pouring through our lots. My husband, who is 73, and our son, who we called for help, worked until 11:30 p.m. and were able to divert the mud flow from the well and the house. It was still streaming over the septic tank and leach lines. Hopefully no damage was done to the septic. Our deck was destroyed from underneath. I want to start by saying Ed Valenzuela, Tom Deeney, and Brian Shinoni have been very approachable and good about returning our calls, listening to our concerns, and answering our questions as best they can. However, we want to be sure that the Board of Supervisors realizes the gravity of this situation, and more definitely, what still needs to be done. Our house is not in a designated flood zone. The Upton Highlands subdivision was approved by the Board of Supervisors in 2006, even though they were informed of the consequences of it interrupting the natural drainage flow from the mountain. We now have seen this to be true. The subdivision has diverted the natural flow coming down the mountain from the Bride Springs. Rather than flowing to the southeast, it flows to the west, down Everett Memorial, to Mount Shasta, and the railroad tracks, so that it then runs down to Butte Avenue. I realize that this Board of Supervisors did not approve the subdivision, but aren't you responsible for the past actions of Boards of Supervisors? Otherwise, why have a Board of Supervisors with no accountability? Were even the mitigation measures required for approval of the subdivision done and monitored? and your need to support the efforts of Public Works and emergency services to solve this serious problem. It is vital that a hazard mitigation grant be written that will help fund what is required, and regardless of that grant, that the county will work with the U.S. Forest Service, Mount Shasta City, engineers, private entities, and its constituents. It will be expensive and ongoing, settling ponds built and maintained, curbs and drainage, diversion of flows. But realize damage caused by just diverting the flow down toward Mount Shasta and Butte Avenue will cost much more in money and in people's lives, with homes and businesses destroyed, than prevention will ever cost. And please remember your mission statement. Siskiyou County government is dedicated to excellence, providing responsive, cost-effective, customer-driven services, working with local communities in a collaborative effort to enhance and protect the safety and quality of life for all the citizens.
Thank you. Irene Reginato. Good morning.
Good morning. I am speaking regarding the same issue, the water runoff. Irene Reginato.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm speaking regarding the water runoff and mud flow down Everett Memorial Highway on the same day, August 21st. My husband and I live on the corner of Butte Avenue and Everett Memorial Highway. Our property, home, and outbuilding have been greatly impacted from this flow. Earlier in the day, on August 21st, it started to rain, and the water would flow down Everett Memorial Highway, and the mud came later in the day. Since the Upton Highland Subdivisions was established, it has diverted the natural flow coming down the mountain. It flows through the subdivision and down Everett Memorial Highway, not only affecting their properties, but ours as well. The drainage down Everett Memorial Highway is meant to flow down the east side of the road, which is a narrow pathway. On the east side, above the railroad tracks, there's a community mailbox for the residents on Stellar Way that sits on a cement slab that diverts the runoff around the base where it crosses the highway. The culvert under Stellar Way is small and clogged with debris, so the water and mud continue to flow across the highway there also and down the railroad tracks on the west side of the highway instead of the east side where it's intended to go. There's also a culvert under the road on the southeast side of the tracks that is clogged with debris that diverts the flow also across the highway. On the west side of the highway, the flow, which is the side I live on, the flow continues down and across the railroad tracks into the back northeast corner of our property and through it. This isn't the first time this has happened. This has occurred several times since that subdivision has been put in, and especially with heavy rains. Since the three culverts on the east side of the road are blocked, the water crosses the highway and flows through our yard. However, on this day, when the mud started coming, the mud built up against our gate, where the water normally flows through, and which plugged it and down the fence line until it broke through the fence. It was a river of mud that flowed through our entire property and around our house. We worked through the day and late into the night after dark, trying to divert the mud as it continued to pack up against our house. The mud flowed through the vents into the crawl space. It also packed a foot and a half of mud against our house and up on the siding on all three sides of the house. The mud flowed into our storage building and left several inches of mud on the floor, ruining many things. The flow of mud was so strong that it pushed a rubber stopper out from the floor of my car and put 6 inches of mud inside the car. It covered our septic tank, part of the leach lines, and ran through our lawns and flower beds. After flowing through our property, it flowed across the Butte Avenue, through Casey's and Nelson's properties. Several neighbors to the west of us down Butte Avenue were also impacted as it flowed down Butte Avenue, the railroad tracks, and onto their properties. We had a bobcat, two tractors, a dump truck, along with a last and a lot of people with shovels to help us remove the mud from our patio and away from all three sides of our house. We have removed 15 loads of mud so far, each load containing 6 cubic yards, and we still have more to remove. Our front and back lawns need to be replanted, and the sprinkler system has to be redone. The fence needs to be repaired. On a daily basis, we're dealing with the dust and breathing it as we have dogs and cars and the wind that stirs it up. I'm counting on the Board of Supervisors to have a solution and plan in place to fix this problem so we don't continue to have flooding in these areas again.
Thank you. Anyone else on public comment?
Through the chair, we call.
Yes, yes, okay.
Battery 100%. Caller ending in 0493, it is your turn to speak. Caller ending in 0493, it is your turn to speak.
Yes, thank you. This is Raven Stevens on Butte Avenue. I'd like to thank, first of all, Tom, I believe his last name was Delaney, at Public Works, for really listening and coming out and talking with a few of the neighbors, and for the other folks that were working that night to try to help us. I spent 2.5 hours that afternoon in the middle of the road. I had 3 mudflows coming through the property. And when I got out onto the street, it was coming through the backside of Butte Avenue where the railroad tracks are, in, at that point, 2 different places. This was before it started flowing through the Reginato's place. And spent a lot of time building mud dams on the north side of Butte, trying to keep the flow on the upside of Butte Street so that it would go down and flow down past that green gate. I don't know if you guys are all familiar with that, but anyway, spent a lot of time out there with a shovel to protect neighbors on both sides of me. One was having their garage filled, and the other neighbor was having their RV canopy, the front posts were being washed or eroded, and it was knee-high in mud. So I really want to ask if we can get whoever's the person in charge, maybe it's the community development director, to research and go back and look at the approval of Upland Estate. There were mitigations outlined for that approval, and I believe one of them might have been a pond, a retaining pond that was supposed to have been put in, and that was never done. But to look at what the mitigations were they done? Were they completed? If they weren't, then let's get them enforced now. We're only looking at more episodes of rain and flooding, and we've got to be proactive now. There were also public letters that came in during the public comment time, and there were some professional people that had really important things to say beyond, you know, what most of us know and understand, some Forest Service folks, and so look at those suggestions to figure out what can be done. And then for Pete's sake, meet in person with the Forest Service and with Mount Shasta City. I understand, you know, there's finger pointing and things like that, but, you know, covering your butt to protect from lawsuits and that kind of thing isn't going to get us where we need to go. And today, where we need to go is proactive solutions. And yes, it may cost money, but you know, the county is supposed to protect its citizens, and so we would appreciate it if you guys could be proactive, meet with the Forest Service and with the city in person. And also, you know, because we have no newspaper now, it's really hard if there's any information that's been given out by the county to us. I certainly haven't seen it, and I've been looking. So
okay.
How do we get information out to the public in a way that lets us know what you guys are doing? Because maybe you're doing stuff, but nobody knows
okay. What
that is.
Thank you.
So if you could also look into that, that would be awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Nothing online. Anything more in-house that isn't already up here? Ms. Davis, would it be appropriate for maybe an agendized item on what we've just heard on public comment so that people may know more about what's been going on behind the scenes because of that event?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We can schedule that
Thank
for
you.
The upcoming meeting.
Thank you. All right. We're going to move on to consent agenda. And I'm pulling item F, 5M.
M is in Mary, yes.
Yep, is that correct? Anything
yep.
else from the board?
Thank you for the rest.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda minus 5M.
Second.
And I have a second.
Right. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go to 5M. I'm not sure.
We have a gentleman for a public comment.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to do
you
that
want
one first.
Public comment first, and then we'll come to you. Okay. Mr. Jones. Good morning.
So my name is Josh Jones. I am the Jones and Jones Janitorial. Really honored to have the opportunity to come speak before you. Also very nervous because I hate to ruffle any feathers, but I have some points of discussion regarding this award contract that I'd just like to bring to your attention, if I may.
Okay.
This contract, first and foremost, is unprecedented. In my 15 years of government contracting, I've never seen a five-year term contract. Another area that is unprecedented is the compensation. If you review the contract, it is very vague and open-ended. There are no boundaries, it is unspecified, and looking at it before you, I don't know if you could tell me whether that is a $10,000 contract or a $1 million contract. My second point is just the local economic impact. I am a lifelong resident. I've been in business here in Siskiyou County for 16 years. I'm having to lay off 4 employees. I'm taking a 30% loss in revenue. There is a very serious local economic impact for me and for the other vendors that are going to face this. And this brings me back to my third point, is local preference, right? It's my understanding that the procurement of contracts in our area has a policy that requires or recommends local preference, right? Priority be given to quality, reputable, reasonable contractors in order to boost the local economy, right? I live here, my employees live here, our families live here. We depend on the support of the county purse to build us up and to keep us going. If we're going to open up the floodgates to contractors out of Los Angeles or the state of California as a whole, then I'm terrified that by the end of next year, I won't be in business. I do ask that we put a pause on this award. I do request an audit. I filed an objection with the Office of Legal Services, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Clark?
Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services, and with Ms. Kirk Hendricks, Deputy Director of Administrative Services for Social Services.
So, a response with regard to what we've heard now in public comment?
We followed the RFP process. We did a week-long review of the proposals and came up with the decision that we did.
And what's local preference part of that analysis?
Yes, Board.
And with regard to Mr. Jones requiring an audit, what does that do? And I don't know if you know that or if Ms. Davis, how does that?
He's asking to require an audit of the RFP process. I mean, that's at the board's discretion whether it needs to direct its staff to do anything like
So that's not, I guess, a formal.
No, the RFP didn't include a protest procedure, so it's up to the board whether it wants to award the contract to pay or provide any direction to the department.
Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Any questions from the board? Go ahead, Supervisor.
I'm just, on the surface, it seems like there's things we need to do before we approve this contract. Questions to be answered. I don't know. I don't know this contract, and I don't know the process. I guess if someone files an objection, would we proceed with the objection in some kind of process, or
in certain RFPs, you can have what's called a protest procedure, which just allows the department or the board to take one more look at the process prior to making the award. It kind of is like an exhaustion of administrative remedies. This contract is a services contract, and it didn't include that. Often those are included in larger construction project contracts. So at this juncture, it's at the board's discretion whether it wants to approve the contract today or whether it wants to ask the department to make further evaluation.
The department has no objection to it, if that's the board's wishes.
And I would like to add, we worked very closely with County Council during that review process.
Is the 5-year term unprecedented, as was stated?
We've done that with a transfer station, I know, and also with Lake Siskiyou. So.
We have other 5-year contracts with social services as well.
Somebody else?
Supervisor Ogren?
Illuminating.
Do it quietly. The one question I do have is the compensation piece, in that the board appropriates dollars when I would expect that that would be a piece that would be brought by each contractor to evaluate in the RFP process. Because generally that's something that you look at. So that is a little confusing.
So all the proposals did have a full cost. We decided to go with a rate contract because, again, it's they charge us on a hourly rate to clean buildings. And if, you know, our building's a little extra dirty a day and they got to clean extra, we don't want to be constrained to an NTE. Is that what you were?
Yeah.
Alluding to?
But there still should, to me, there still should be a not to exceed amount. And now it's just pretty open ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in there that says how much, you know, it should be $50,000 a year. There should be something, some parameter, instead of just open-ended. Because I get that one night might be a little dirtier, but that doesn't mean the sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
So I still would like to see some sort of amount to exceed for yearly with a total cost for that 5-year period. That gives us something to go by, and it also gives you something to look at while you're reviewing.
Mm-hmm. We can definitely change that.
And I still also think that, well, you said you're giving consideration to local.
Yes.
And I do understand the feelings of Mr. Jones. And I would respect that in looking at, you know, our local employers.
Of course.
Supervisor Chris?
There's nothing to add.
Nothing to add. So it appears that there's a little bit of, I don't think this is going to move forward today, I'll put it that way. So I think it's going to come back with, I'm hearing, the not to exceed amount. And then I guess, are we also looking at kind of a review of the process? Is that what I heard that you didn't have an objection to? Is that
we
correct?
We have no objection to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A point of clarification,
sure.
However, would that review be done by County Council, or is that a review that we would do internally? I mean, it sounds like perhaps what the board is looking for is just more information about the selection process. that?
A little more specificity on what I have in front of me.
We can provide that.
Pretty nebulous.
Okay.
Okay. So would we continue this item to the next meeting with the more information coming and addressing the issues that have been brought up?
Yes, please.
If the contract's going to change, though, I'd request that this be dropped and then brought back, if there's any changes to the
document. There's a not to exceed requirement, then yes, we would need
change.
To drop it.
I would say drop it. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, so we will drop this item.
We'll drop this item and then have it returned on December 5th.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Well,
thank you.
So, did we? I just want to make sure we made the motion and the vote for the remainder of the consent. And
we did.
We did. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. I've got a very short memory today.
All right. We're going to move on to item 6A. Caltrapin.
Good morning, this is Serena Deuce with California Trout. I just wanted to state that a letter of support for a restoration project on the East Fork of the Scott River is back before the board for approval, and portions of the letter were edited to address board comments and concerns from the last Board of Supervisors meeting, including removal of language that was speaking about in-stream dedication, which is a part of a different project, not this one. And then adding additional language on the types of restoration and where those will happen on the property. I also provided a map with more details on that piece as well.
Okay, Supervisor Howe.
I appreciate the clarification because as it was first presented, it had a lot of sticking points in it for me, lack of specificity being one of those. The groundwater recharge was a bit problematic in that this grant proposal was looking at groundwater recharge, but then it was dedicating in-stream water rights as well. And that clarification, taking that out, is a great one from my perspective. It leaves all kinds of other implications. You can't have it both ways. You can't do groundwater recharge and then dedicate your full allotment in-stream. It doesn't work both ways. And understand that the owner of the property can try and do that, but it's outside this grant process. The groundwater recharge specificity, and thank you for the map, was a series of beaver analogs, or check dams, if you will, in Noise Valley Creek that would back the water up into the bank and store some of that water that way, so that it wasn't the use of the water right itself, just a slowing of the release of the water. So I appreciate that. One of the things I do want to voice from the community is that, I know the grant process pretty well. The most embellished language you can use is always the one that usually gets the attention from a grantor's standpoint. However, we have a growing community concern, and it comes from my constituents and the Farm Bureau that have been in contact since this came on our agenda, that in order to secure a grant, we have to paint a grant as if this grant doesn't happen, the fish will be extinct. And you and I both know scientifically the data doesn't show that. And unfortunately, if you tell something long enough, it becomes the truth. And I'm cognizant of that language. We're apprehensive about continuing to see that kind of language in grants. That's not going to stop this grant from going forward, but just a caution that I wish you'd please heed when you bring these grants back to the board for approval. I think the grant, the request is as good as it stands now with the tweaking of the letter that Ms. Nielsen did. I appreciate the work.
Any other comment for this item? If not, I'm looking for action from the board.
I've got comments.
Okay.
just the correspondence that was received and forwarded to the board, and I've also got copies here. From Nick Jocelyn, yesterday was a letter of opposition to the Beaver Valley Headwaters project. I also got an email from Nathaniel Kane for the Environmental Law Foundation. I didn't read through it, but it does have some comments regarding the same project. And then another letter, an email from Nick Jocelyn that he's would like to incorporate by reference the comments submitted by the ELF regarding the project as well.
Danny, is there any public comment online?
Yes.
Okay.
Nick Jocelyn, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, I'm Nick Jocelyn, Mount Shasta, California. I would just like to echo Ray Haupt's sentiment about the embellished language of a grant and making sure that we are accurate with our assessment of proposals. And the point I tried to make, I think in my letter, is more about how important it is that we only build new project concepts on previously successful projects so that we aren't spending money unwisely. And I think in this case, there's question about the acquisition of that large ranch and their ability to dedicate water and stream. And so tying a new proposal to this current acquisition, which has become actually somewhat of a problem from the viewpoint of the funders who gave money for the acquisition, which is taxpayers of California via the Wildlife Conservation Board. And so my point was that was made quite well by Mr. Haupt. I think it's very important that we're accurate with our language and we don't embellish grants and try to promise more than is possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Next online.
Caller ending in 0090, it is your turn to speak.
Good morning, members of the board. This is Nathaniel Kane from Environmental Law Foundation. I was hoping to speak on item 7J, and I'm not sure if we're there yet. I just heard my letter reference.
We're not there yet.
But I can defer my comments until we get
there. Okay, we'll come back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else on this item?
Just before we move forward, I'm make perfectly clear that the dedication of in-stream rights is not part of this grant submittal. Neither would I support it if it were. But I will support the letter written by the board for this particular project. These are a host of things that Supervisor Kopseth and I have visited on this ranch prior to changing hands, which is work that the Haydens and the Hayden family have wanted to do for decades. And so that's why I'll support this today and make the motion to approve.
Okay. I have a motion to approve.
Second.
I have a second.
If I can ask something before I do the roll call vote, can
sure.
I get Serena's, the spelling of Serena's last name?
D-O-O-S-E.
D-O-O-F as in Frank?
S.
S as in Sam? E. Thank you. All righty.
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copson?
Aye. Okay, we'll move on to item 6B. Scott and Shasta Valley Water Master District.
Oh, give me a second. I've got it here. There might be possibly a gal by the name of Lori online. I do not know for sure if she was going to call in. But their item is to make appointment in lieu of election to the Scott Valley and Shasta Valley Water Master District. Mr. Richard Lemus is the incumbent, and he had filed a declaration of candidacy for the Shasta Valley service area. The other gentleman, Roy Johnson, we've determined was not interested. So at this point, it would be just an appointment in lieu of election to the Shasta Valley and Scott Valley and Shasta Valley Watermaster District to the Shasta Valley service area.
I would make the motion. A quick question for Ms. Wendy.
Uh-huh.
These are, he did all the candidacy papers and everything. There's just no opponents. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, yes, I'll make the motion.
Okay.
For Mr. Lemus.
And that was for Mr. Lemus's appointment. Thank you.
And I have a second.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren. And Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
All righty.
Okay, we'll move on to 7